you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to our Bulls Talk podcast. I'm Kevin Anderson. I am very excited because we are joined by ESPN's Cassidy Hubberth. In full disclosure, Cass and I go way back because at one point, a few years ago, Cassidy was an associate producer here at CSN, and I met Cass and followed her career very closely. Cassidy, thank you so much for taking time with us.
Of course, as you mentioned, you were basically one of my big mentors at Comcast Sportsnet, so I mean, anything for you.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind. Well, it's funny because when you first started with us, and gosh, this must be going back 6 or 7 years at this point.
More.
Yeah.
So I was at Comcast Sportsnet Chicago in 2008, maybe.
Wow.
8, 9. So almost.
Yeah, because you had just come from, you were doing some stuff with Intersport, and then you started with us as an associate producer, as an AP, which mostly behind the scenes stuff. But I saw your reel at that point. I think I told you that, like, you've got so much potential on air. I mean, you could just see it back in 2007, 2008. So I am absolutely, even if I had a very, very, very small role in where you are now, I'm proud of what Cassidy Hubberth has become. So let's talk about kind of how you got to ESPN, and you are basically one of their main hosts and reporters for the NBA and college football. Tell me about what life is like living in New York and working for the boys in Bristol.
Well, I mean, it's great. I'm living my dream. Grew up a Bulls fan, so loving the NBA is just kind of in my blood, given that I grew up during the Jordan era. So it was pretty unavoidable to not be an NBA fan. So to be able to cover the league that I think I'm most passionate about is, like I said, a dream come true. So prior to this season, I did mostly in-studio work. So I was basically working out of Bristol for the past 6 years, or the first 6 years of my time at ESPN, and, making the transition from full-time host to full-time reporter has definitely been, quite an experience for me because, being in studio, I love it. I feel like, I'm meant to be in studio, but there's nothing else I want to be doing but reporting right now on the NBA because it allows me to interact with, players and teams and front office executives and really, really understand the inner workings of the league, which, I think is important for me to build that type of credibility as a voice within our sport. So, I'm really happy. I'm in a good place, I think, to continue to grow and to learn and, become, someone who, I hope one day can be even more respected within our NBA coverage.
And so what can we expect from you this upcoming season? Are you primarily going to be part of the weekly ESPN on NBA, NBA on ESPN broadcasts? Like, where are we going to see you with ESPN next season?
Yeah, so I'm going to continue more sideline work. My last sideline stuff was obviously Summer League, which was crazy. I mean, I've done Summer League the last 2 years. This year was it reached another level with the whole Lonzo Ball craziness. And then, the season starts a week earlier. So, yeah. And then we do, with our new deal, with the NBA, which started last year. We're doing some preseason games. So, you know, preseason starts at the beginning of October. So in addition to my college football duties, which I host the post-game show after our primetime game, and then also do cut-ins throughout the day on ABC during college football, which also happened to be the, you know, when I was working at Comcast Sportsnet, I was also flying to Atlanta to cover right. SEC football to do on-air work for them. So I was doing, you know, production stuff for Comcast Sportsnet, and I was doing my on-air stuff for Fox Sports South. So my first big break was covering college football. So the fact that I'm able to do both college football and the NBA, two sports that, you know, have basically defined my my passion for sports right now is, I mean, I pinch myself every day. I feel really, really fortunate. So what I'll be doing is Saturdays college football until the end of the college football season, and, you know, do sidelines here and there during the week because we have a lot of games. I mean, especially once the NFL is done and once college football is done. I mean, you saw last year that we have games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, like national games. Like
we have
a lot. So I will be doing a lot more sidelines and then special events. I do All-Star and, you know, I just did the ESPYs this summer too, which was
right.
great.
You were in Vegas for Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot on your plate, which is a good place to be, because if you're doing something you love, you want to be busy and you want to be doing it constantly. So that is that is awesome to see. You're a Northwestern grad and you take your Wildcat roots very, very seriously. So how happy were you? How much of a sense of pride was it when they made the tournament for the first time in school history?
Oh my gosh. March? I mean, we're talking about never, ever. Ever. it's crazy that was the first time. And so I was like just beaming with pride. And it was funny because I was working a lot during the run. And actually, I was working with Doug Collins a lot. So, you know, whatever type of pride I had, tripled that because, you know, he's such a proud father. So it was the Michigan game where they did that, like, full court buzzer beater. Like, I was doing, I think, the Cavs-Celtics game. And, you know, usually when I'm on sidelines, I try to keep my Twitter open, too, just to, like, get, you know, make sure I'm keeping track of all the beat reporters and seeing if they, you know, are noticing anything that I'm not. And obviously, when I saw the Northwestern Michigan game, like, start to populate my timeline, I couldn't stop paying attention to it. And so I was the first person who told Doug that Northwestern won. It was a big win leading into the tournament. It helped, you know, solidify punching their tickets. So it was pretty awesome to see how excited he was and be able to share in that moment. And, you know, it was just was a great ride and so overdue for not just, I think a lot of people, like, sure, there are some people who are annoyed with Northwestern people on Twitter. We became the new Cubs fans. like everybody was annoyed how excited Northwestern fans are. But come on, guys. Like, really, if you're mad at Cubs fans for being excited for breaking the curse and then Northwestern fans for finally making the tournament, you need to reevaluate your happiness, because don't take our joy away from us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the first time in school history, you know, that's something to be proud of. By the way, very good, sneaky Andre 3000 Outcast impression you just had there. Never, ever.
exactly.
Northwestern has such a very close-knit media fraternity. So what is it like with yourself and Rachel Nichols and Wilbon and the other group of broadcasters who went to Northwestern, and how much kind of interaction? Do you have one with one another? And, you know, you see Rachel in the hallway and go, hey, go Cats. You know, you pulling a Pat Fitzgerald with that. Like, tell me about just being part of that fraternity at that school.
Well, it's great. I mean, not to humble brag, but, you know, Northwestern's one of the best journalism programs in the country. It's a reason why, you know, I grew up in Evanston. It's the reason why, like, I lived at home with my parents because I, you know, to be able to go to Medill is such a privilege. And so we have a enormous sense of pride. The collective Medill alumni, about our school, because I got my first job at Intersport and then also as a traffic reporter in Chicago from the Northwestern job fair, you know, and Northwestern has provided me with so many different opportunities that, I can trace back to, that I've gotten today. So, you know, there's such a great bond with, you know, say Rachel and Mike Greenberg. I worked on Mike and Mike for a couple, you know, for a while last fall. And then of course, Will Bond, who is, you know, a close and dear friend. It just brings us together, and it's nice because, you know, we're often so spread out. You know, Will Bond's in D.C., Rachel's in L.A., Greeny's, you know, in Bristol, but he's in the morning. And sometimes, you know, I don't get to interact with them as much, but we all bond on, you know, our love and appreciation for Northwestern. So, it makes, ESPN, which is really big, feel small at times. So it's nice to have, coworkers that I can kind of just, bask in our Northwestern glory with.
Sure. Now, be honest, is there a rivalry between the Wildcats alumni and the Syracuse alumni? Do you pass somebody in the hallway who went to Syracuse and just give them a glare?
I mean, yeah, there's like we have a fun rivalry with, you know, Mike Tirico, and, you know, trying to even think of like all the other Syracuse alumni. But whenever Northwestern people are, I will admit, we're a little annoying because we like to claim, Medill's the best journalism school in the country. But then, you know, Mizzou can say that, and Syracuse, we've all been number one at one point. And what our rankings, as we know in sports, it's all debatable.
But, so it's okay. Northwestern's the new Syracuse. That's just how it is.
Oh, okay. Now, wait, did you go to Syracuse?
No, so I didn't go. I went to Division III school. I went to York College of Pennsylvania. So I'm from like the minor leagues when it comes to Big Ten country and the big schools. I originally went to school for radio, and then kind of made my transition to TV that way. Yeah, it's worked out for me. I mean, honestly,
I
can't be.
Syracuse statement you just made.
Well, no, I was saying as a Northwestern is the new Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Northwestern is replacing Syracuse. I was giving a pro Wildcats statement there.
Okay, got it. Okay, so I just looked up some of the other Syracuse people. I mean, they got a good collection. I mean, Mike Tirico, Iron Eagle, like,
they're no slouches.
Dick Stockton, Dave Pash. Yeah, okay. But... just saying.
You have a huge presence on social media and on NBA Twitter, and I love NBA Twitter. In my mind, it is by far the best collection of people that are actively socially talking about any sport is NBA
Agreed.
Twitter.
Agreed.
How much do you like that interaction, being able to interact with people that live across the country who are just happen to follow you and tweet back at you, and how important is that to kind of cultivate that relationship?
I mean, I have friends solely because we met on NBA Twitter because like I found them to be witty and I thought they were, you know, I liked their takes, and it's crazy. Like I have developed friends and met up with people. You think you know them, but you're meeting them for the first time. It's awesome. I think it's just a microcosm of just the success of the league right now. You know, the NBA is just so fun. And that's not necessarily a knock on the other leagues. But, you know, the NBA's personality is just is something that is so alluring and so relatable as well. Granted, you know, I can't relate to Steph Curry making $200 million, but, you know, it's we know these guys.
Yeah.
We get to know the personalities of these players, just be outside the lines, for lack of a better term. And I think it allows us to have more in-depth conversations and allows us to, like, really get creative with our ability to, you know, debate and talk about our observations with the league, because there's so many different levels that we are understanding and getting to know players, teams, executives. It's just, we have a relationship that is deeper than, for me personally, than any other league.
Name me another league that has a commissioner that has a secret Twitter account that is for the sole purpose of following NBA Twitter, or
yes,
for that league's Twitter.
I'm going to figure this out, though. I got to figure it out.
You've got to figure out Adam Silver's personal secret Twitter account? Well, you know what?
I'm on the case.
That should be your sole job for the next 6 to 8 months, is to find, you're reporting, you're going to be at the arenas every day, talking to the key people. I really think that should be your number one priority, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. 100%. I mean, what are they paying me for, really?
Other than to find that out. So, yeah, that's your next exclusive. I want to see that very
exactly.
soon.
And I also just think it's the game, too. It's just, you know, there's so many little moments in a basketball game that it's easy to clip off and, you know, put on Twitter. And then that allows, you know, like, sure, NFL Sunday, you got some good video that goes around. But that's only one day. So the NBA is every night, and so there's new material to just, like, get us excited, laugh at, you know, have fun with, be in awe of, and the athletes are just getting better and better. So I'm just so happy with where the NBA is right now. I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, I'm a 90s NBA fan, so, you know, it was hard for anyone to say there's better basketball than during that time. But we're in a really good place, regardless what you want to say about super teams or the Warriors winning for the next 50 years. Like, I like the product, and I even like the regular season. I mean, we're coming off one of the best regular seasons in recent memory with what was going on with Harden and Westbrook. So, you know, take your complaints somewhere else.
And the part of it's the league's approach on social media, too. They will let anyone tweet out video
right.
of
R.I.P.
any play and to just basically say, pump up the league. And other leagues don't take that approach. They look at their product as this proprietary kind of thing that only they can control. So
right.
the NBA just takes a totally open-sourced approach
Fan
to
first.
It. Fan first. That's exactly right.
Which they should. I mean, and that's like, and the team's Twitter accounts are some of the best follows, too. Like, they see the importance of social media because the NBA's fan base is so young and it's so current and it's so relevant. So, you know, it's a good time to be covering the league and to be a part of the league. I feel, again, I can't say enough how fortunate I feel.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the RotoWorld Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for 6 different types of leagues, positional rankings from 5 of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draft guide. That's rotoworld.com/draft guide. Take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. I'm Kevin Anderson with ESPN host and reporter for NBA and college football and Chicago native Cassidy Hubbard. Recently you were on a panel that talked about why you should not stick to sports. And that dynamic can be difficult for a reporter, especially a personality, to follow. Is that when you've got, we all come from different backgrounds and different biases and different beliefs, and the expectation, it's a cliche, the whole stick to sports anytime that you tweet out about something that is not specific to what you're supposed to be, you know, quote, reporting on. Is that a difficult balance to maintain, and do you find it hard not to stick to sports sometimes?
Well, the problem is, I wouldn't really call it a problem. The situation is, sports is no longer just, again, inside the line. I mean, what we're covering is entertainment. It is cultural. It is social. It is society. Like, there's so much that athletes do that speak to broader issues in our society. I mean, look at what's happening with Colin Kaepernick. You're going to tell me to stick to sports when just reporting the story is a reflection of social issues in our country. It's unavoidable to stick to sports in today's landscape of sports, you know, because there's so many athletes who are speaking out not being allowed to speak out, which in itself is a story that needs to be covered. So as far as finding balance, I mean, obviously there's certain things that I need to be cognizant of. I'm not going to be reckless, but I think it's important for someone who has a voice to speak up when it's necessary to, and to get out certain stories and takes that players have in order to, you know, start a conversation needs to happen because we don't live in a perfect time. And there are a lot of issues that, you know, athletes have the responsibility to talk about just so more people get in on the conversation. I've often said, you know, like Michael Jordan, if he were an athlete today, he wouldn't be as beloved because of the 24/7 criticism and the exposure that he would have to go through. And, you know, and I say that because when you look at LeBron James, I mean, how much he's criticized, but time and time again, he steps up with thoughtful comments about what's going on in our country and different social issues. And, you know, he's not afraid to have a voice, and he's not afraid to, you know, back down. And I think that's also because Adam Silver has created this environment
right,
where he feels also free to be able to speak his mind on issues that are, you know, bothering him, or he feels like he can serve as a representative for someone who doesn't have a voice like him. So as far as sticking to sports, I think it's impossible in today's landscape because we have too many strong-willed athletes who are wanting to get involved in matters that, you know, so many people should be.
And sports is society, and that's what
Correct.
We are, and to reflect that. So very, very well said, Cassidy. I'll ask one for you, Cassidy, before I let you go. Less than a minute and this is a Bulls Talk podcast, so I have to ask you about the Bulls.
Yes.
Is there any path that you see they can take that they are a playoff team a year from now? Yeah.
A year?
Yeah, not next season, not next season, by the year after. Like, is there anything?
You see how I just reacted?
Yeah.
That's the emotional part of me. I don't know, man. Like, Zach LaVine needs to, like, prove that, you know, that injury won't set him back. No, they need another star. They need a star. This is a star-driven league. Granted, the East is weak, but this is a star-driven league. And they don't have anyone. They don't have anyone even close to the potential that they don't even have anyone right now that is even on Jimmy Butler's level. So
no.
That was my issue with the trade was they got rid of Jimmy Butler in hopes that they can get someone who's going to even be on Jimmy Butler's level. So they got a lot of work to do. And I think it also starts with figuring out what's going on up top and making sure that everyone's on the same page. And I think, granted, there were some issues with Jimmy in the front office, so that, you know, maybe this is wiping the slate clean and everyone's going to get back on the same page. But there's a lot of unknown and not a lot to invest in right now with this team. Hopefully the youth, you know, get some good minutes in, and we see more potential out of Zach LaVine, and D Wade can, you know, teach these young guys some things, but it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, for me, it's a top three pick in the draft and hitting in free agency next year, and that's not, neither one of those things is certainly guaranteed, and neither one of those things is going to be easy either. Cassidy Hubbard, thank you so much for joining us on the Bulls Talk podcast. You are the absolute best, and we certainly, everybody here in Chicago, wishes you well in New York and all the spots around the league you'll be covering the NBA with ESPN.
Thanks, Kevin, and I cannot thank you enough for everything you've done for me and my career. I'm so happy that we've kept in contact throughout the years. I appreciate all your messages of support, because it's definitely people like you who have helped me get to where I am. So I appreciate everything that you are and you represent.
You are too kind, Cassidy. Thanks, Cass. I appreciate it. Still to come on the Bulls Talk podcast, Mark Schanowski sits down with Bulls big man Cristiano Felicio. You hear that interview next.
Catch a brand new episode of Beer Money, presented by Coors Light, Chicago's favorite sports trivia show, where fans are put to the test for a chance to take home cash. Every Sunday night at 7 on CSN.
Welcome back to the Bulls Talk podcast. Great talking to Cassidy Hubbard. Mark Schanowski had a chance to talk to Cristiano Felicio, who's got a camp here in the Chicago area. Let's take a listen.
It is great to be here at the Bulls Academy with Bulls center Cristiano Felicio. And first of all, Chris, what was it like talking to the kids? They're all so anxious. They want to know everything about your life. Do you remember what it was like for you at this age?
For sure. We all are kids someday. And for me to be here, it's great because I love being around kids, and kids don't really know, but they're really smart, and they ask great questions. And one day I was here on the other side, and for me it was great to hear some of the older players talk to us, have them answer some of the our questions, and it was fantastic, just as it is now.
These kids have boundless energy. They're able to go all day. Do you remember what that was like when you were a young guy playing on the soccer field or the basketball court all day?
I do remember. I used to go to school in the morning, and then I used to be on some court or even on the street just playing it every single day, and I couldn't get tired of it. And these kids, they have a lot of energy too, and it's great to see that.
I know you've been working very hard this summer. I've seen some of the pictures from the Bulls training facility. You guys are out running laps on the track. You're doing weight work. It almost is like a military camp. You guys are working so hard. Is that just a issue where you guys want to get better and putting in all the work you can this summer to improve your games?
Yes, for sure. They have like a program made for all of us, and we're just trying to get in there and get all out no matter what we do. And it's been great. Most of the guys are there, and we're creating a bond. And for sure, it would be great for us in the beginning and during the season.
This must be a great summer for you. You just signed a new contract with the Bulls. You came here a couple of years ago not knowing if you'd even make the team. And now you've got a contract and some financial security. How has that changed your life?
It's going to change most of my to my family, because for me it's not all about the money. I play basketball because I love to do it, and for sure to sign this contract, I've come 2 years, and even the first year nobody knew who I was, and a lot of doubts on my name, and I'm just excited to keep going, keep showing people that I belong in the NBA. You
mentioned the fact that you and a lot of the young guys are working out at the Advocate Center. For some of the fans who don't know some of the new players, everyone seems to really be dedicated to making sure that this is going to be a good team this season. Have you been impressed with the work ethic and how guys are getting along?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the guys are out there training day and night, and even when they're asking not to. And for sure, it's great for us to see that. And hopefully, all the hard work we're putting in would translate during the season.
How competitive do those drills get? I've seen you out there with Bobby Portis is out there, and Campaign and Zipser and some of the guys. Do you guys push each other to work a little bit harder each and every day?
Yeah, we just try to go out there and just give it all. And some of the guys, a lot of the guys are really competitive, and so we go out there and just try to go as hard as we can. I know some of the guys will for sure get frustrated by it, but we try to lift them up and just push them and just see that all the work we're putting in will be worth it when the season starts.
Bulls fans have seen you rebounding and blocking shots and alley-oop dunks, but I hear you're working on your jump shot, trying to add that to your offensive game this year. Will we see some different things from Chris Felicio this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to improve more in my offensive game, just not to stand in my game to the mid-range and maybe to the three-point line at some point. And it's working. I have been on the gym day and night and just trying to improve the part of my game. And I'm sure if I can improve that part of my game, I'm going to be able to help the team a lot more.
So Chris Felicio, he's got a new contract. He's a big Cubs fan, a big soccer guy. You see him around town, make sure you say hello.
Thanks, Mark and Christian, for that. This has been the Bulls Talk Podcast. Thank you to Cassidy Hubbard as well. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at CSN Chicago. You can find us on csnchicago.com/podcast and on Apple Podcast as well. For everybody here at CSN, have a great day.